You see, the death and resurrection of Christ is not just a historical point in history that we just remember cognitively in our heads. It's not just something that's intellectual. Because here, Paul moves beyond the intellect and he goes and moves to experience. When it says in verse 10 that I may know him, he's speaking of an experiential knowledge, not something he just knows of here. I think of driving. I think driving illustrates this really well. When you learn to drive, you can go and take the test right on paper all you want. You can have all the rules of the road memorized. But until you actually get in the car and you hit the gas pedal and you know what that feels like, how much pressure to apply, how much to take off, the brake pedal the same way, being able to interact and know what's going on around you, you really don't know how to drive, do you? Same here. The cross of Christ and his resurrection is more than an intellect. It's an experience. Look at the following two phrases after he says that. The power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Paul's difficulties, struggles, hindrances, pains, discomforts because of gospel preaching was Paul's way of experiencing the sufferings of Jesus. He didn't look at it as something to say, pity me for. He rejoiced over it. Because he was able to identify with Christ when people ridiculed him for preaching the gospel. Whether that be physical, emotional, or spiritual pain. But it's also being conformed to his death. Look at the end of verse 10. Being conformed to his death. That's not by accident Paul puts it in the passive voice. Because what he's saying is, God's changing me. God's conforming me. My obedience doesn't conform me. I participate with obedience. But behind that, God is working to conform me into his death. See, suffering is something every Christian goes through. You identify yourself with Christ, suffering will come. If you never experience suffering, then you've truly never identified yourself with Christ. Paul's main point here is that when we suffer for the gospel, we are inevitably caring about Jesus' death in our body. That's something to remember when you partake of communion. The bread and the juice here. When you suffer for Christ, you are caring about Jesus' death in your body. Let's pray, and then we'll get into this. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your ultimate sacrifice of suffering. Thank you that we can get a small taste of what it's like to suffer just by living a godly life and preaching the gospel. And it doesn't even close to compare what you did on the cross, but we at least get to understand that before glory, before resurrection, before we really attain to the power of the resurrection, we must suffer. And thank you for that promise of the resurrection, because that's what drives us forward, knowing that we'll be with you and see you and attain a perfect, healthy, glorified body, being able to see all of your glory in heaven, for you shine brighter than the sun. That will be something that will never grow old. the deacons come forward, please. This is the bread. Represents his body. We say broken, even though no bones were broken when he was on the cross. He sacrificed it for you so that you could be with him forever. Eat of it. His blood was spilled so that we could enjoy a clean conscience and a clean heart before him. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin.